Thanks.
So the whole issue, that was all about verse number one. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. A young elder that I know, really neat guy, stood up in front of a group of young people and held up his Bible like this. And he said, the number one best habit of my entire life has been to get up every day and read this book. It's just so simple, you know. But it's hard at times to even preach a message without emphasizing the importance of just reading God's Word every day. So he says to them, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, that's the context. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So without knowledge. What does a lack of knowledge cost them? Verse number 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. The word led is habitual. It means they were led over and over and over again. What were they led to? Dumb idols. Do you see people led to dumb idols today? Yeah, tons. What's a dumb idol, by the way? I mean, literally, what's a dumb idol? An idol that can't speak, right? And so deaf, can't hear. Dumb, can't speak. Psalm 115 goes through a whole list. You know, hands they have, but they cannot touch. Ears they have, but they cannot hear. Eyes they have, but they cannot see. These are dumb idols, literally dumb idols. Now, what kind of dumb idols do you see people dragged away to today? Because of a lack of knowledge. And by the way, I'm talking about the Christians. I don't mean the world. Like the world, I mean, and I mean this very sincerely. Lord help them and Lord bless them and I mean, it's so sad. They're wandering around out there in darkness. You know, they desperately need Christ, but they hate Him at the same time and what He stands for. You know, but I'm talking about the Christians. What do you see? What idols do you see Christians drug off to today?
Lust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. The way the world defines things like that. Yeah.
TV.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. If you were Satan, how would you try to get into homes? Internet and TV, right? What an open door he has, you know? What an open door he has, yeah. How about like fraternities and sororities? Is that an issue? I hope it's not. I hope you don't know anybody. But I know plenty of Christians. And I grew up in a youth group with 175 kids. I mean, there were a lot of us, you know. And there was a huge lack of teaching and lack of understanding. And I saw a lot of kids going off to the drinking parties saying, well, we'll go and we'll be a testimony. And then a month later, they were doing the same thing that everybody else was doing, and they'd get drug right off into the world. And then you graduate from high school, and a lot of them are joining sororities and fraternities, which are dens of iniquity. Now, I know that there are Christian fraternities out there, and I haven't made it my life's ambition to look into all these things as deeply as I could. You know, I know that there would be some exception out there, and that's fine. But as a general rule, these are dens of iniquity, and the Christians go off, and they're never seen or heard from again. And I look at that like a dumb idol, you know. In fact, I knew one guy well, and he said, I'm going to join this fraternity. They really emphasize academics. These guys are my brothers. It's good for business contacts. I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. He had all these things laid out, you know. Partway through college, he ends up with financial trouble. He turns to his brothers that he's spent 2 years partying with and going to college and says, help. And they all just kind of turn around and say, well, good luck, you know. And they said, if you can't pay your rent, then you're gone, you know. And no help whatsoever. I mean, and he genuinely believed it. Like, this is going to be my life. These people are going to help me. We're going to stick together. And it was a dumb idol. Like, when he called out to them, they couldn't hear him. They couldn't see him. They couldn't help him. You know, it didn't work, in other words. God works. I love that about the biblical God. It works. He works, right? He's never failed. So these Christians, because of a lack of knowledge, because of their ignorance, were being carried away over and over again. By the way, that's the idea of being bound. It's like handcuffs. You're bound and taken where you don't want to go. Or it could also be used in the context of like a ship with a broken rudder, so there's no way to steer it, and it's being blindly driven like in a horrific storm. In other words, you have no control over it. Ignorance leads to slavery. That's the thought there. Ignorance leads to slavery. Have you ever heard someone say knowledge is power? It's really true. To such a large extent, knowledge, I mean, it's everything. Why does the scripture say seek after wisdom? You know, buy wisdom and sell it not. Why does the scripture say these things? It's life, you know. Even in business, it's amazing. I was in sales for 8 years, and the best thing I ever did for sales was study the Bible intensely. You know, you understand people, you understand life, you understand business. I mean, it just, you understand things that you don't understand if you don't know the Word of God. So he says, I would not have you be ignorant. Why? Ignorance leads to slavery. And then he introduces spiritual gifts in 4, 5, and 6. And I think we'll just close with this. Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. Diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Another reason why I love this passage is diversities of gifts. Not everybody has the spiritual gift, the same spiritual gift, right? Simple enough. If you keep going in this section, 11 through 14, it'll say, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Do all speak in tongues? Mm-mm. Right? And I mean, such simple points. And you've got masses of Christians out there that are being taught, if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not a believer. You need the Holy Spirit, which evidences itself in the speaking of tongues. One reading through this portion of Scripture, one honest reading, if you understand what it's saying, just one simple reading, you'd say, oh, no. Everybody has different gifts, right? Even at this foundational level where the spiritual gift of tongues is in its normative use, not everybody had the spiritual gift of tongues. So diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, verse 5, diversities of ministries. That word means official duties. And the reason why I love this is you'll meet Christians, older, admirable Christians, and they will say things like, well, we don't really need to worry about what your spiritual gift is. We just need to look around the assembly, and if you see things that need to be done, then you just jump in there and do it. Is that true? Well, it's true in the sense of verse number 5. There are differences of ministries. There are differences of official duties. Those of you that are Bible readers, have you ever come across a passage that talks about the spiritual gift of cleaning potties? It's not in there, right? So either nobody ever cleans the potties, you know, or, which is, I think, is a much better solution, that it's a duty in the assembly. It's not a gift in the assembly. It's a duty, right? The office of an elder. Is that a spiritual gift? No. Now, there is the gift of a pastor, right? Praise the Lord. But you don't even have to be a spiritually gifted pastor to have the office of an elder. Every elder you would meet has a different spiritual gift out there. So you've got gifts in verse number 4, and then you have things that just need to be done, official duties, in verse number 5. And when you hear people talk about spiritual gifts, some people will emphasize gifts so much that you get the impression that, well, that's the only thing I should ever do. I should find out what I am, and then I should just only do that, right? And then other people will emphasize, they're the ones that are kind of practically minded a lot of times, they'll emphasize, well, things just have to be done to the extent that sometimes they'll deny, well, perhaps we ought to think about what piece of the puzzle the Lord has made this person, you know? So gifts in verse number 4, duties in verse number 5, and then notice verse number 6. This is really beautiful. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The word activities is fruit or evidence or power. In other words, every one of you that know Jesus Christ has a certain gift. Irregardless of your gift, there are certain things that need to be done. And the Lord will use you all, each one of you individually, He will use you however He sees fit. The power of God will be seen in your life differently than it will be seen in your life, right? And now, that lends itself to jealousy, right? And that's the second half of chapter 12. Jealousy, monopoly, and independency. So fruit, evidence, power. I know and admire people that the Lord uses in evangelism, and I love that. You know, I love that. And so when you see the Lord using them in a way that He's not using you, you can either be jealous, or you can say, praise God for how He's using that person and how He's gifted that person, right? And so that's what this is saying. In a local body, in spiritual gifts. There's different gifts, there's different official duties, and the Lord decides how He's going to show His power through a person, evidence of their spiritual gift, fruit. So we leave that with God. So the Spirit gives a gift. We're to exercise our duties unto the Lordship of Christ, according to verse number 5, and we leave the fruit, the evidence, the power with God the Father. You see that? It's a beautiful, beautiful portion. And we've already been over the dangers in the second half, so I won't go over those again. Jealousy, monopoly, independency, there's so many good things. I mean, well, the whole portion is just excellent. But as I prayed before the Lord and thought about what to share, I just thought we'd do an overview and then kind of go through the first part of it. So any questions or comments? It's funny how simple life is sometimes. Like, I travel so many places, and people will say, well, what about this? And it's some aspect of body life that chapter 12 talks about. Or they'll say, well, what about tongues? That's always a question. What about tongues? If you don't clearly understand chapter 13, you want to read it, understand it, understand it, because you will get asked about it forever. If you don't clearly understand chapter 11, headship, glory, created order, angels, if you don't clearly understand that, do yourself a favor, read it, come to where you do clearly understand it, because people will always ask about it. Until the end of this earth, Satan is going to do everything he can do to mess up God's created order and God's structure that he has made, because it robs God of glory. It will never stop being an issue. Honestly, I look forward to heaven where these issues are no more. You know, I think that'll be great, you know. But until we get there, we've got an enemy and we're fighting a fight. And like Paul said, we are not ignorant of his devices. So no questions, comments? Okay. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Well, we'd like to have the time of prayer then. Prayer request for this week.